Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer
have to look at yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Our last day without Lante, who will be returning tomorrow to help us tie a bow on our Illinois and Penn State preview. Are we missing Lon? Do you miss him?
I do kind of miss him, yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Miss him a little bit. Hope he's enjoying the beach and the sun and the
tiki hut bars
that he goes to. No, you don't want to do that. Because you know he's not going to say nice things about...
No.
Well, particularly you.
Yeah, he'll come back in and fire about 3 shots at me in 2 minutes tomorrow.
But yeah, we'll have Lon back in the building starting tomorrow as we always have fun on a Friday. Look forward to that. Certainly, we'll continue our Illinois-Penn State preview as we go through today. We're going to have Daniel Gallen on from Lions 24/7 to get us the Nittany Lions take as far as what that's looking like for a team that's ranked top 10 in the country. As we've touched on throughout the week, a very dangerous Penn State squad with NFL talent really on both sides of the ball. But as Kyle's pointed out, I mean, they got an edge rusher, they got a defensive end, they've got a linebacker that all are considered probably within first to third or fourth round picks. And then 2 really, really good running backs, a former 5-star quarterback, Drew Aller, who was the number 1 quarterback prospect in his class, now taking over. Really, Kyle, Sean Clifford, I know he's on the Packers, and I, unfortunately, because the Bears were so terrible, I actually had to see a little bit of Sean Clifford on Sunday, filling in for Jordan Love.
Oh, did he get in?
He got in. Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yikes.
It was that bad. Sean Clifford really didn't impress me a whole lot at Penn State. Seemed to... I mean, good enough to get himself a backup spot in the NFL, but kind of capped their offense. I'm not saying it was all his fault. Maybe the receiving core might not have been there in terms of having a ton of explosiveness, but just seemed like in some of those big games where Penn State was trying to get to that next level, a squad that is looking for, I still think it's they're trying to get to their first Big Ten championship game appearance, and then obviously haven't been in the playoff either. Quarterback play has been a little bit lackluster or just not to the level of getting to that spot.
Yeah, I think the entire roster has really elevated itself talent-wise. Like, you look at almost every position on that roster, and they've got NFL talent on it. But I think the thing that they have been missing here and the reason they can't get over that Michigan and Ohio State hump is Sean Clifford just – there is a cap on what he can do. He can't elevate your offense enough to get over an Ohio State who's had back-to-back NFL top 10 picks at quarterback and even Michigan here recently, who's really kind of taken over that crown in the Big Ten. I think Drew Aller can be that guy. I was high on Penn State this offseason. I've watched Ohio State through 2 weeks. I think there's a pretty decent chance this is a better Penn State team than Ohio State. I think there's a chance that Penn State could break through and get to a Big Ten championship game this year. But if they do it, I think it's because Drew Aller elevates their offense and gives them a true pro back there that can really make some plays that Sean Clifford definitely could not.
I know we touched on it a little bit off the air, and while we're on the subject of Penn State before we get to Daniel Gallen here in a couple of minutes, that you said that Ohio State just really doesn't look like a typical Buckeye squad. Like they played a 23-3
game against Indiana. It's probably a little unfair for me to draw that conclusion based on that game because it was Kyle McCord's first game as a starter for them. He just didn't look all that impressive to me. It seemed like a massive drop off. And not to say he can't improve later on in the season. He was a really highly rated recruit, but it seemed like a pretty massive drop-off from Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud at quarterback for them based on the first couple of weeks here. And so that concerns me a little bit. If Drew Aller's the real deal and he's looked it through 2 weeks, I think Penn State could be a better team. And then a Penn State-Michigan matchup, I'd have to see where that game's being played this year, but that one could be a lot of fun.
I did pull up the Penn State schedule, just giving it a glance. We mentioned yesterday they do have a whiteout game, a night game next Saturday when they host what's currently now number 25, Iowa.
How are they doing the whiteout for Iowa? You'd have to – do they go on the road at Ohio State and at Michigan? I'd have to think they get one of those two at home.
They are at Ohio State, and then they play at home November 11th against Michigan.
How do you not
– can you double up the whiteout?
Why not? Is there a rule against it? I mean, I just can't believe that you wouldn't do it for that Michigan game. I think that could be a play into the Big Ten championship and at least my personal projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we can ask Daniel Gallen about that choice and if they've ever done a double wideout game. Speaking of coloring out the stadium, Illinois has a orange out coming up this Saturday. We'll talk to McLean Stahl. Game Day Spirit in the 4 o'clock hour to fill you in on those details and what you need to do if you're I imagine you're not looking for an orange shirt or at least short on one, but how about a new one or something to gear up for the rest of this football season to get ready for basketball, get those hoodies. We'll tell you all about that, what you need to know here in the 4 o'clock hour. But yeah, I looked at that Ohio State Indiana box score and I saw like Marvin Harrison Jr. had what, 2 catches for 18 yards or something like that.
Then, right?
I was like, oh boy, quarterback play could be lacking at least early on for the Buckeyes. But yeah, Penn State looks legit and had heard it through the offseason. Like national people were like, hey, you know, don't be surprised if this is Penn State's breakthrough year. Michigan hasn't been tested in the slightest yet. They played UNLV and I forget I think it was East Carolina in week one. And they've really just ho-hum, no issues, nothing really to see in those games.
Except they put up 4 for Jim Harbaugh in their first snap of the year because, man,
stupid.
You self-imposed a suspension and it's,
and they're all
it's
saying
everyone against
Jim.
The world. Yeah, it's Harbaugh against the world, I guess.
What a tough go for them, those games that he's having to make. Man, at least they're
getting
it back for Rutgers. They
self-imposed a three-game suspension, rather, against UNLV East Carolina, and they play another terrible team this week. They were really going to miss him for those.
Yeah, really a game that doesn't really matter. On the contrary, Illinois and Penn State has big implications. Big time for the Illini if they were able to pull it off. Penn State to keep the track going as far as what they could potentially accomplish, need to win and take care of business here in Champaign. We'll learn more about the Nittany Lions on the other side of this break. Daniel Gallen, Lions 24/7, is going to join us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What kind of bedside manner would you like your doctor to have? At Roof Doctors, they make sure you feel good about what they can do for you. They make sure they answer all of your questions and feel comfortable about whatever procedure your roof needs. Roof Doctors has helped customers for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy have helped make lives better in our community with their generosity and kindness. Roof Doctors is the company you can trust if you need anything done on your roof. Roof Doctors in Urbana, They make you their number one priority.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
As the summer temperatures rise, make sure your energy bills stay low. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing to upgrade to a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Dogtown offers financing, including 0% no interest for qualifying customers. And if you have rooms in your house that don't seem to stay cool, call and ask about the great rebates on the Dyack and Douglas mini splits. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 435120.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We're going to go to the Tapman's Towing phone line as we gear up for Illinois versus number 7 Penn State on Saturday here in Champaign. 11 a.m. kickoff on Fox. Let's learn more about that top 10 ranked Penn State squad as we're joined now by Daniel Gallen, Lions 24/7. We've had him on before to talk some hoops. Now we're going to learn what James Franklin and company are bringing to town this weekend. Daniel, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
I'm doing great, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of hype around this Penn State team. It's been a squad. You know, James Franklin, I was looking through his tenure. He's had a handful of 11-win seasons as recently as last year when they won the Rose Bowl, but it seems to have been taken up a notch this season. You get Drew Aller at quarterback. You bring back that tandem at running back, and you got some good pieces on the defense as well. Just what's kind of the pulse of Happy Valley right now about what this team could potentially accomplish?
Yeah, I think coming into the season is definitely the most hyped team that Penn State has had since, I guess, probably 2017 in terms of coming off that Big Ten title, coming back. You know, there were some high expectations for 2020 before COVID happened and kind of derailed that. But I think that having Drew Aller as your quarterback, former 5-star recruit, number one quarterback nationally, I think that that has really elevated the expectations, because I think that's the one thing that Penn State has never really had under James Franklin, is this type of quarterback that you look at and you can see as the type of player that can really, really elevate you. Trace McSorley did a lot of nice things a couple of years ago, but this is a completely different, you know, type of quarterback. This is your prototypical, program changer in a way. So, yeah, there's a lot of excitement coming into the year. And then with the two wins that Penn State has put together, I think there's a lot of things that people have liked from them. And I think it just kind of slowly ramps up the excitement as we get deeper and deeper into the season.
What has Aller shown in his first two starts with the Nittany Lions and about to make his first road start? I know his completion percentage jumps off the page as you look at that, 78%. I know also, you know, West Virginia, Delaware, not providing the stiffest of competition early in terms of making Penn State air it out a bunch or be overly aggressive with play calls. But what have the early signs or indications been on that former five-star quarterback finally taking it under center?
I think the first thing you notice is just the way the ball comes out of his hand. Like, he throws lasers. I mean, watching him throw an out to the field side is just really, really impressive. You know, the arm strength really is as advertised. But the one thing that I think has stood out to a lot of people through these first couple of weeks is just his patience and his ability to move in the pocket while keeping his eyes downfield. You know, his first touchdown pass to Keandre Lambert-Smith against West Virginia, he's, you know, navigating the pocket, moving up, and eventually hits him for 72-yard touchdown. He had another play later in that game, this nice completion over the middle to Harrison Wallace, where I think almost any other quarterback that I've seen in the past would have taken off running. And he's about to cross the line of scrimmage and just stops on a dime and throws it downfield. I mean, I think that his eyes are always up. You know, he's looking for his receivers downfield. And there's really only been one throw this year where you said, oh, that's trouble. And that was that pass got broken up by Keandre Lambert-Smith. You know, probably would have been an interception. But I just think that Drew Aller has just been so solid, so confident, and just so poised through these first 2 weeks.
He's got a heck of a running back duo to hand the ball to as well with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. What makes each of those guys unique, and how does Penn State utilize each one within their offense?
Yeah, they're both really, really fun to watch. I mean, Singleton is another former five-star, and he's kind of your, you know, stereotypical, like, big play hitter. Like, when he gets out going into the open field, it's a lot of fun to watch. He hasn't quite broken one off this year. I do think he's due at some point. Maybe it's Saturday. But he is just kind of he's a load when he gets going. You know, he's listed in the mid-220s and just can, you know, outrun almost anybody. But Catron Allen is just so much fun to watch from a patience and technical standpoint. His footwork is so good. He just finds these very, very small holes. Only falls forward. He's the type of guy where, you know, you feel comfortable handing it off to him on a 3rd and 4 or a 3rd and 5, because even if the play isn't quite there, he's going to get those extra yards and he can turn that into a first down. You know, he's not necessarily as explosive as Nick Singleton, but he has really reliable hands out of the backfield, and he's just someone who makes plays happen. He was more of a feature back last week. He had 19 carries, 100 yards, while Singleton had 12 carries and scored 3 touchdowns. So both of them can hurt you, and Penn State is at their best when both guys are getting the ball.
Daniel Gallen is our guest, Lions 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter, at Daniel JT Gallen. How do you think that, in terms of, like, play style, what this offense is going to look like for maybe Illinois fans that haven't got a glimpse of Penn State quite yet? Is it going to be a situation where they're going to line up 2 tight ends and ground and pound you? Or what's that really look like in terms of what Illinois has to deal with? And then I know the secondary has kind of been really something for Illinois going into the season that they're dicey on because of the inexperience. What's the pass-catching group look like for the Nittany Lions as well?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of variety from Penn State. You know, they do run a lot of 2 tight end sets, but, you know, they'll have both Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren out there lined up, you know, in the slot. Like, they'll be in 12 personnel, but it'll be empty backfield, 5 wide receiver look. They really like to move all of those guys around. But if they need to get powerful, they'll put 3 tight ends out there with 2 running backs in that T formation and run it down your throat. So I think you're going to see a good mix of styles. I guess it'll just depend on the game flow, you know, what Penn State is trying to accomplish. And as for the Penn State wide receivers, I think that was kind of one of the few question marks coming into the season. James Franklin, since the spring, was pretty, you know, in terms of the pecking order, was pretty clear that Keandre Lambert-Smith and Harrison Wallace had separated themselves, but he was really looking for that third guy to step up. We thought it might be Omari Evans coming out of camp. He's a sophomore, a converted quarterback who can run in the 4.3s, but he didn't play in week one and didn't enter the game last week until the second half. And so in that space, Malik McLean, transfer from Florida State, he stepped up and had a very nice opener, 4 catches, 58 yards and a score. Kent State transfer Dante Cephas is someone there is a lot of excitement about, given the numbers that he put up in the MAC, but he's been quiet so far. So I think Penn State has like a ton of talent in this room, but they're really looking for guys to step up and looking for someone to break out. I know James Franklin has talked about wanting to be, you know, 6 deep at that spot, and really they've only gotten like 4, 4.5 deep these past couple of years. So there are guys that they rotate through to give chances. Whether or not they deliver on that, I think, is big for Penn State in determining what kind of season they have.
As Illini fans look and see what Kansas was able to do in putting pressure on Luke Altmyer, who's already taken 8 sacks in the first 2 weeks. I mean, Chop Robinson's probably the last guy that Illinois fans would want to see get off the plane here in Champaign. Like, how dangerous is he and overall that ability to get after the quarterback for Penn State?
Yeah, this Penn State pass rush is really supposed to be a strength this year. Chop Robinson is so quick off the line, you know, just a very, very solid pass rusher. And when you pair him with Adisa Isaac and Denai Dennis Sutton, it makes it really, really hard for, you know, opposing offensive lines to game plan for them. You know, I think the Penn State front does have some questions on the interior, but, you know, they've just been very, very solid through these first couple of weeks. But, you know, I think we're all waiting for the pass rush to really wreck a game. You know, they had trouble against Garrett Green of West Virginia in the opener, who was a mobile quarterback and did a nice job of escaping pressure, running downfield, and, you know, getting some yards where a less mobile quarterback would have been dead in the water in the backfield. So I think that's something that Penn State learned from, and I think they're going to try to apply with Luke Altmyer. So it'll be really interesting to see how guys like Chop Robinson, Adisa Isaac, and Denai Dennis Sutton are playing off the edge.
A few more minutes with Daniel Gallen, Lions 24/7. You maybe touched on it there with Luke Altmyer. Is there anything, as you look at Illinois, that could possibly give – I mean, Illinois fans are hoping so, but it could give Penn State some trouble in terms of maybe what they're looking out for in the matchup, that they have to control Illinois from doing this to make sure that they're going to take care of business in Champaign on Saturday?
I think anytime you're facing a quarterback like Luke Altmyer, it's just that Penn State just needs to, you know, get him off the field on third down. You know, if Penn State can get Illinois behind the sticks, or, you know, in third and long, you know, just not letting him make a play with his legs, extend the play and find a guy downfield, you know, just be good on third down, get him off the field and keep the game moving. I think that's something that kind of stands out to me, that kind of popped up in that West Virginia game. Starting defense only gave up 7 points in that game, but there were a couple other junctures where you felt like that the defense should have been off the field. So I think that's one thing that stands out to me when I look at the quarterback in the Illinois offense.
Last one for you, Daniel. We were wondering, going into the segment with you, we looking up the schedule, and you got the whiteout next week at home, night game against Iowa. Later on in the schedule, they do play Michigan at home as well. Were you a little surprised that maybe the whiteout was Iowa versus Michigan instead? Or, and then also on that note, I know Illini fans hoping that maybe Penn State's looking ahead to that Iowa game and maybe show up a little sleepy on an 11 a.m. Against Illinois. Has there been any kind of emphasis on that, maybe based on what Penn State players or coaches have said, just kind of, hey, you can't take this game for granted?
Yeah, I think on the first point with the whiteout, a couple, I think last year maybe, or the year before, the Penn State like football Twitter account put out this poll and was like, what's the most important thing as a fan for the whiteout? And it was like night game, opponent, I forget what the other two were, but the thing that won the poll was that a night game, that they want the whiteout to be a night game. And so I think that, you know, they knew that this game against Michigan in November wasn't going to be a night game, which, you know, you looked at this home schedule and the other logical option is Iowa. So I think that played into it. But I don't think Penn State's looking ahead. You know, they got asked a couple times this week about the game 2 years ago, the 9 overtime game, and a lot of guys, you know, everyone kind of said that's in the past. These teams are very different, which is true. But, you know, I know that James Franklin is the type of coach that, you know, doesn't forget things like that. And so, you know, while no one came out and said it publicly, you know, I think that you do know that that, you know, has probably come up as an example of you can't really take an opponent for granted. I know that Penn State was like 24-point favorites in that game, and it just got really ugly really fast. So, you know, I think Penn State these past 2 years has shown a really, really good ability to come out and take care of business when they should. And I think that that, you know, goes to the coaching. So I would be very surprised if they, you know, let this game be in doubt into the third quarter or even the fourth quarter.
Daniel, I haven't allowed myself to forget either two sides that couldn't score from like the 2 or 3 yard line 5 times in a row in that game. But that was a thrilling win for Brett Bielema and company back in 2021. And a tall task awaits them on Saturday against the number 7 Nittany Lions. Good catching up with you again, man. Lions 24/7 is where you can find Daniel's work. And I look forward to having you on again in the future. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
Absolutely. Daniel Gallen, check out his stuff. Lions 24/7 does a good job for their site. You can follow him on Twitter at Daniel JT Gallen. This is going to be a tough test, man. And especially if there is that a little bit of kind of revenge factor for Penn State. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the more I look into this Penn State roster, it's a loaded team. It's one where you feel like, even if Illinois comes to play and plays really well in this game, they may still lose by double digits because it's that good of a team. You have those games. Not to say Illinois has no chance of winning, but it's going to take a heck of an effort, a big improvement from a lot of areas on this Illinois roster, and it's probably going to take Drew Aller making some mistakes for Illinois to pull this one off. It's a tall task.
Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking about, too, is you could clean up some of the things that you need to have addressed and still get thumped. Like, that's just how good this Penn State team is. And I want to get your opinion on it. Like, how much do you think between the end of that Kansas game on Friday and now, how much is fixable and what do you still worry about maybe might take more time to have get on the right page?
I think it's going to be tough for the offensive line to fix things like at right tackle. Like if Chop Robinson lines up across from Zy Chrisler, like if Zy Chrisler's a terrible game pass blocking again, obviously you're going to have to evaluate that, but you can't really blame him. I mean, that's the first round draft pick potentially, or day one or two draft pick next year. That's going to be really tough. I think keeping Luke Altmyer protected against that Penn State pass rush is something that I'm not necessarily expecting. I don't think that's a quick fix. I think you look at Florida Atlantic to try to get that thing fixed. I think they can run the ball better. I know there's a lot of talent on that defensive front, but I still think the offensive line should be able to get some push. We heard Daniel say there that the interior of that Penn State defensive line's the one group that hasn't really shown up all that much yet this year. I think really Illinois' defensive front has to be really good. If you want a chance to win, they got to be really good at the line of scrimmage. And I think that is fixable. Like Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph can take this one personal and say, this is a really good offensive line, a top 10 team in the country. We are going to dominate this one. We are going to get after those running backs and do everything we can at the point of attack there at the line of scrimmage to stop the run. I think that's something that can change pretty quickly. It's just it's like the secondary. I don't know, man. Is that it's a tall task for them as well.
Getting Matthew Bailey back is going to help, but
he hasn't played all spring, all fall, and now you're going to ask him to go play, you know, Drew Aller in Penn State. That's tough. Like there are a lot of things. It's like if you had Florida Atlantic coming in this week, we could talk about here's a lot of things we want to see change. If there's still a lot of struggles from certain groups in this Penn State game, I think you can't totally blame them because they're going up against a giant here.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% in agreement with you, in particular with the offensive line. That definitely scares the crap out of me. I think that it's going to be a really tough situation with Luke Altmyer to be in if you are in trail mode or like playing behind the sticks. Like if you're having penalties, if you're not getting going in the run game and you got to throw it a bunch, I think that the pressure is going to get in his face for sure. And Manny Diaz has been a guy that's been pretty aggressive blitz-wise, if they even feel the need to do that. So that's something that scares me. You look at Kalen King is thought to be one of the better corners in the Big Ten as well. Probably going to see a lot of Isaiah Williams. I just don't know that Casey Washington and Pat Bryant can separate enough or give you a situation where you're able to really get chunk plays in the passing game, especially if you're playing in like no doubt passing situations. I think that could just be a disaster for Illinois' offense.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we talked about it yesterday defensively with disguising coverages and really making Drew Aller think and read you. I think the offense has to get really creative. Barry Lunny's got to pull some things out that he hasn't shown these first 2 weeks. I think, you're probably not going to have a ton of success with Isaiah Williams stretching the field. I think you line him up in the slot and get him the ball quickly at the line of scrimmage, put it in his hands, let him try to make a play and bust one down the field. I think I'd love to see Malik Elzey get an opportunity just to switch things up, especially if Casey Washington and Pat Bryant come out and they are getting kind of shut down and they're not separating much. Get his bigger body in there. Let Luke Altmyer take a chance and let him make a play. Hank Beatty's got speed. He can play in the slot. You can dump it to him underneath and let him try to run after the catch. Like, I think you got to get pretty creative here in this game and really open up some things playbook-wise that you haven't yet. And I think there's no doubt that Barry Lunny hasn't shown every trick he has in the first 2 weeks because he was down 21-0 against Kansas, and there's not a whole lot you can do. And I think there are some things that he has been circling this game and saying, we're going to pull some things out here. We're going to try some things and try to catch Penn State off guard. And I think you're going to need that, and you're just going to need to manufacture some big plays to stay in it.
Yeah, some innovation is definitely going to be needed. No more tight end sneaks, please. Yeah,
please don't.
Don't file that under the innovation category. Defensively, before we catch a break, I do agree with you. Like, Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton have enough of a track record for me to sit here and believe that those guys can flip a switch and all of a sudden show up against a really good ground attack. And you're going to need it, like you said. I mean, this is a pivotal point, not only for this team, but, I mean, for those guys' draft stock. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, drop like rocks here if they don't show up in this game. Johnny Newton, as we talked about, had a pretty darn good game, was very noticeable on screen against Kansas. Keith Randolph, maybe not so much. But Keith went into the season saying, hey, I've gotten too overlooked in terms of all Big Ten type of stuff, in terms of the NFL draft stock maybe can be higher than it would have been if he would have went to the NFL last year. I mean, this is a nationally broadcast on Fox against a top 10 opponent where you're going to naturally have a lot of NFL people wanting to watch this game for Penn State reasons. Hey, show up and do it. I mean, that would be a huge deal for Illinois at the line of scrimmage, and they're absolutely going to need it. I do think, though, I am a little, like you kind of hinted at it and said, that I'm skeptical. We'll see how Aller plays. Look, it's not the most raucous environment in the Big Ten. Hopefully the crowd's given a reason to really get into this thing, and Illinois defensively can kind of make Aller uncomfortable, disguise some stuff as we talked about yesterday. But I do think there's going to be chunk plays to be had in the passing game if Illinois doesn't look significantly different than what they did against Kansas, although that's a pretty prolific passing game there in Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm almost willing to live with that. If Drew Aller comes out and he's, you know, putting it in the bucket 45 yards downfield and man coverage, like he beats you that way, that's fine. I'd rather see that than Penn State runs it through your teeth for 300 yards. We know they can do that. I want to make him beat you there. I want to put pressure on him. I want to see some blitzing. I want to see some aggressiveness from Aaron Henry. And if he beats you and if he delivers a strike downfield, if your corners get beat, so be it. I just would rather see that than what we know can happen and probably will happen, and that is Penn State just runs it down your nose and you don't get off the field all day. To get off the field, to get some stops, I think you're going to need to force Drew Aller into making some mistakes and making some tough throws down the field. And if he does it, then that's why he was the number one overall quarterback in 2021 class. I mean, you can't do anything about it. But I want to see him try that, and I think Illinois is capable of providing his biggest test of the year that he's had so far. I don't really know what West Virginia's defense looks like. I know he had a heck of a game against them, but you should be able to provide as much resistance as he's seen as a starter, especially at Memorial Stadium, mm-hmm. And I want to make it tough on him and see what he has.
Absolutely. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Brett Bielema met with the media today once again to give his final thoughts on this Illinois-Penn State matchup. It's a coach that is a little feisty, it seems like.
He's kind of jawed at some guys this week. You can tell he's not happy with the start of the season. And you want that, right? You want to see that. You can tell that he gets really bothered by performances like the game against Kansas. So
he's bothered by that. I think he's also bothered by maybe two grand of takeaways about what the first two games look like. I wrote it in the preview for Inquirer. Like, they've been super uninspiring. I'm not coming out here and blowing anybody's minds. Like, oh wow, what a profound thought here. But they have been very concerning with what they'd shown for a team that had expectations to maybe win eight games again, to be a factor in the Big Ten West, at the very least, to be a bowl team again. They're going to have to show improvement. This, again, as we've said over and over and over again, broken record style this week, is that this is a very, very tall task. But you can tell Bielema doesn't want people to turn on this squad too soon and still feels like they can have a pretty good team. It's a good opportunity to show that. So we'll get that to you on the other side of this break. Brett Bielema from today. This is The Drive.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. I want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital, for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Illini fans, be sure to wear orange to support your Fighting Illini football team ahead of the Orange Out game against Penn State Saturday, September 16th. Stop in to one of Game Day Spirit's Champaign locations and gear up with the best selection of Fighting Illini merchandise in town. Shop their great selection of orange t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more in store at the corner of Neil and Kirby in Champaign and 6th and Green in Campustown, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a two-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwalk or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. Sarah Champaign, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampaign.com.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with Liquid Death water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it is the Hail to the Orange out. Got to wear orange coming up on Saturday, 11 a.m. against Penn State. We'll talk to McLean Stahl from Game Day Spirit more about that coming up. It's also Hall of Fame weekend. I should have mentioned that earlier in the week. I know on the basketball side, Kenny Battle will be in town as well. And maybe later in the show, I can read off the full list of attendees for the 2023 Hall of Fame class going in for Illinois. But the game on the field is what everyone is focused on. Can Brett Bielema and company get this thing right, the improvements to make this a competitive game, to have a chance to pull the upset? That is what's on everyone's minds. Brett Bielema talked to the media once again today to give his final thoughts on the matchup. Here is your Illini head coach.
Well, obviously excited to get back out on the playing field. I think anytime you have a game like we did last Friday, to get back out there is what everybody wants, players, coaches, really fans probably. So excited for a Penn State game. I know we got an anticipated crowd, probably as big as we've had here since I've been here, so excited for that. Orange out, all that goes into it, I think for us as head coach, I tried to get orange jerseys here. We're going to go all orange, but the supply chain issue popped in, so we can't get our orange jerseys, but we'll be in our traditional orange, blue, orange. Excited to play a Penn State team that's obviously highly ranked for a reason, good football team, but I think our guys know and understand it's about what we do, how we handle our moment, and to be in this situation is nothing more than, couldn't ask for anything more. So injury-wise, everybody that played last week should be back. And then, of course, we've talked about Matt Bailey and Zeke Holmes. Those guys will be as well in the lineup and moving forward. And other than that, we should be pretty healthy.
Is Matt, will he be on like a play restriction count? Or is it
not really. He's, you know, he practiced actually last week going into Kansas game. I was hoping we were going to get him in that one, but he didn't get cleared until afterwards. So he'll be involved literally, you know, and it'll be the first snap a little bit based on their personnel and what they give us. But he's in the full game, in the game plan full go.
What does it mean to have him back?
Yeah, you know, two things. Matt is a tremendous player, obviously good position, but as a person, as a player, very coachable. He's kind of a player, a coach on the field, does a really good job of taking players under his wings. He's kind of got a calm personality to him, so when things get big, he has a tendency to calm it down, and really good, just a good emphasis for us as coaches to have him in the game.
Do you seem to be able to grow despite the injury setback from last year?
Matt Bailey?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, he was – you know, especially the back half of the season and then in the bowl game when those guys didn't play, he really took a huge leadership role. Him and Sid were extremely close, so I think he literally took a lot from Sid. I remember in the first bowl prep after Sid had declared he wasn't going to play, I remember getting on a practice field for bowl prep and seeing him warm up in the same routine that Sid warmed up in before practice. And it just made me smile because I knew he had taken an inventory there, and I think that's an indicator of what he is.
Coach, you and Josh have talked about – Josh Whitman have talked about make this place a consistent winner. Going back to your history in Iowa and Wisconsin, what are the things that there kind of got it going?
Well, I think the big thing is it's a longevity look, right? I think people take a little bit of a synopsis, right, of what they saw Friday, you know, and what they saw Saturday. I think Toledo put up 70 points against the team they played, and obviously Kansas played fairly well the week before, so I think there's a natural tendency of everybody in the world to just jump into, you want instant results. So I think it's a very important thing to kind of take an inventory of where we're at. I didn't claim instant success after, you know, having a bowl game in January. I talked about sustaining success, and what I'm talking about, I signed a six-year contract for a reason. I want to sustain it over a period of time. I think people that look at one-game windows and try to treat it as a moment in time that lasts forever really missed the boat.
I know, Coach, the staff did a little bit of soul searching early in the week when you first got back. How'd they go applying that in practice this week?
Who said that?
Well, you analysis.
What's the word soul searching? Give me the definition. What is it?
Some analysis. Some,
so did we look at what we didn't do well?
Correct.
Okay. So anytime you lose a game, I think you have to look at what you do well and what you don't do well. Nothing changes from this last week against Kansas to the first 2 years that I've been here. Anytime you don't have success, you take a personal inventory of what you've done within a position room, within a unit, within a football team, and try to make yourself better. The good news is everybody you know, looks at this, and I've been amazed by the woes me comments and things that are coming. Like, it's a game that we didn't have success, and we got to get things right to move forward. But it's not a matter of dire straits. It's a matter of getting ourselves better.
Right. Have you been happy with, you mentioned, let's not let Kansas beat us twice. From an energy standpoint of practice, have you seen that this week?
Yeah, we definitely had a really good, in my opinion, Wednesday practice today was really good. Tuesday is always whether you win or lose. I think anytime you put new installs and you see opponents for the first time. Penn State, we did a little bit of prep on them in the spring and during the summer, during the fall, but during fall camp. But, you know, we didn't have the two games on them that we had for West Virginia and Delaware. So you see their personnel a little better. There's still a lot of carryover offensively and defensively and special teams for them. But I think anytime Tuesday is just always going to be a little different. But I was really pleased Wednesday, Thursday, the energy, and obviously getting some guys back health-wise also helps.
Can you talk a little bit about that 9 overtime game 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Just talk about it.
Well, you know, I definitely brought it up to those guys literally on Sunday night when we got together and talked about what's coming in front of us, because I knew it was going to be brought up to them. That team went over there, obviously on the road a little bit different, but they're ranked number 7 in the country, and I believe we were 2-5 at the time and began to do things a little better, but need to have something that kind of gave us something to stand on in that game. I think in particular, a lot of people look at that and say, okay, this is when Illinois started to show that they could play at a level that everybody else can play at. So I think that moment in time, but that time is behind us. A lot of our good players, I asked for a show of hands in our first meeting on Sunday, or I'm sorry, our last meeting on Sunday, when we kind of turned the page and went into Kansas prep, you know, who's played Penn State in this room, right? And only the guys in the first couple of rows raised their hands. This is my 6th time against them. So to play Penn State is one thing, but to play them in an environment at home and hopefully be able to have success, that's something you'll remember for a lifetime.
Coach, I know this is a pretty big recruiting weekend for you. How do you approach that with the kids you have on?
You know, it's kind of just a normal home game for us. We got a lot of players, but we don't have any official visitors. Big weekends for us in recruiting is when you have official visitors in, and every home game we make big just because you can get kids on campus and on officials. I believe we'll have 10 or 12 guys that are either committed to us or guys that we've offered that have, you know, given a commitment somewhere else or they're visiting us. So it's big in that standpoint. But literally, as coaches on game days, we don't get a lot of chance to interact. I'll get a chance to meet with a couple individually, say hellos, but it's more of our recruiting staff and the environment that they'll see.
Since playing surfaces have been topical this week, how do you decide when you're in the stadium and when you're on grass for practice?
Well, the stadium is always an advantage for us just because of the wind conditions. You know, before here, I knew Memorial had an environment that you know can gain an advantage, in my opinion, on letting your players, especially kickers and throwers and people that handle the ball, the effects of Memorial in the wind game, right? We changed the turf a year ago, or just this past year, to get the new turf that's in there now. So obviously, I think we're always trying to find a way as coaches, players, administration, to give our players the best tools to be safe. And you know, I give credit to Josh. Like, when I first got here, went to him, showed him the example of a customized helmet, which was a pretty expensive endeavor, you know, a couple $100,000 to put all of our guys in customized helmets that are the safest out there. So he did that without flinching. So I think the turf, you know, recovery equipment, we just had some new recovery equipment come into our building here in the next week or two that will help us get a chance to recover hopefully better than ever. So I think our place, our university, is looking at it the best they can, but obviously when we go on the road, you don't have to say anybody else's turf.
Brad, in your 15 years, when you're facing a quarterback making his first road start, is that a talking point, or is that something that gets brought up?
I think every quarterback you play, you want to apply mental pressure and physical pressure, and that doesn't change whether it's a guy that has started 5 games, 10 games, you know, 2 years, 3 years. Quarterbacks are affected a lot by the people around them. The thing that Penn State has is they have exceptional talent. They have a tackle that's up for the Outland Trophy that is really good. They have really good skill players at running back, wide receiver, and tight ends. They use multiple personnel groupings, so they keep the dial spinning. But obviously, anything we can do. And then they kind of bring a couple quarterbacks in. You know, they do different things with certain points. So we'll get ready for the quarterback that's in there. But, you know, hopefully our crowd can also help us in that regard as well.
Hopefully, are you present in a way that makes sense? It seems like when you've had games like you had Friday, just in your time here, you can go back to Virginia, and you guys play better, like much better immediately after. So how do you establish that culture of that quick age turn?
You know, I think two things. Like, you have to look at what happened, right? And in the Kansas game in particular, we didn't start off really on fire, offense or defense. And when that happens, that's when there's a recipe for success. So we had 2 opening drives against our defense, go for touchdowns. We had 4 opening drives on offense that didn't result in points, or really quick drives that ended. And that's something you can't sustain, especially if they have success. So the good news was we made some halftime adjustments, corrected, and for the second week in a row, did a much better job in the second half. We just spotted them too much in the first. So for us, like, we just finished defensively end of half and offense end of game, both situations that didn't go well for us on this past Friday. So I think it's important to teach your players not just that you had failure, but why did you have failure, and then try to give them the answers to be better.
Penn State, you runs the ball pretty well, maybe differently than the first two teams you faced. But what do you need to see from your run defense just to take maybe that next step?
Yeah, I think for these guys, you really need to literally defend sideline to sideline. They do a lot of things to get the ball on the perimeter. They also hit you up inside. They run some pin poles, which would, you know, gap you and try to gas you inside. They have two running backs that they feel kind of, you can see that they plan those guys on how they're going to attack you and what they're going to do. They have three tight ends they kind of roll through with, a couple wide receivers that bring different skill sets, but overall pretty good. So I think a little bit we have to get a pulse on what they're trying to do with the personnel that's out there, and then we have to react accordingly.
And those halftime adjustments, like, from a communication standpoint, what makes those effective, or has made those effective in those first
two? I think you got to have two elements. A, you got to have the things that you tell them, right, be correct, right? If you tell them something that doesn't work, then that loses faith. But you have to have kids that are coachable, and I think for 2 weeks in a row, as bad as the first half has been, they definitely listen on the defense side of the ball. And offensively, you know, in the series, to come back and end that half with a touchdown, right? We got Isaiah involved. Next play is another big play to Isaiah, and then two plays later, Tip catches the touchdown pass, and it shows the effect that certain guys have on our team, and we got to capitalize on that.
That is Brett Bielema from today's press availability, previewing Illinois and Penn State. And as we teased going in, it was a little bit of a feisty Brett Bielema. I didn't like the soul-searching phrasing. It just all of a sudden also said he was surprised by the woe is me comments coming after the Kansas game. And Kyle and I, we were talking off the air, and we can dive into this more in the upcoming hour, of how much should expectations be recalibrated for Illini football, and factoring in what could potentially happen on Saturday, whether that be a encouraging performance, even if it's not a win, or obviously a win would big time put things back on track, or even more so, where I would have, going into this year, slotted Illinois at 1-2 through the first three games. I thought they'd lose at Kansas. I thought they would lose at home against Penn State. And what if they don't look much improved coming off of the first 2 weeks and Penn State just blows right through them? Is it time to start dialing it down in terms of, is this a 6-win team? Is this a team that is going to fight to have to make a bowl game? We can look at the schedule too, because there's been now a sample size for some of these other teams that maybe we didn't know as much about, or has been either over or underachieving what we originally thought. So we can dive into that coming up next hour. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We will be back. This is The Drive.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Brake, construction materials, as well as safety equipment, all available. Call 402-8123. Visit crossroadscontractorsupplyil.com.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you can save an average of $889. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Champaign-Urbana. Call 217-344-1900 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual household savings based on 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Illini fans, be sure to wear orange to support your Fighting Illini football team ahead of the Orange Out game against Penn State Saturday, September 16th. Stop in to one of Game Day Spirit's Champaign locations and gear up with the best selection of Fighting Illini merchandise in town. Shop their great selection of orange t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more in store at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign and 6th and Green.